This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I'm Wang Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. In the age of COVID-19, despite being in a lockdown and forced to keep a physical distance from most, we still manage to keep in touch with each other thanks to the wonders of telecommunication. So today we have on the show Idham Nawawi, CEO of Celcom Axiata, to tell us how they managed to operate during these challenging times and, of course, their strategy for growth. Now, good morning. Thank you for joining us on the line. I'm going to start with the one thing that has clearly preoccupied the world, and for good reason, COVID-19. So what were the challenges that Celcom faced in this new normal?
Yeah, of course, the COVID-19 took us, everyone, by surprise globally, and the MCO also put us into an environment that's not familiar to everyone, especially even me in my lifetime. But thank God, I would say that we went through it. We as a telecommunications operators also, and Celcom in particular, we're very thankful that our priority was how to make sure that all Malaysians are able to communicate and to provide uninterruptible services during these difficult times. We were able to do that. Of course, there are many challenges that actually was not anticipated before, but I think the team that we had remained agile, and we were able to keep the network and keep Malaysians connected and keep Malaysians safe in their home. Of course, if I may say, one of the biggest challenge is, of course, is the network, and the priority was to keep it uninterrupted during this time. As expected, there was a surge of network demand in terms of capacity requirement. I think, as we mentioned it before, between 30 to 35% increase. But the increase in volume is not the only thing. That's only one of the challenges. The other challenge is of course, in terms of the timing of this this surge of bandwidth. Before, we only have a couple hours of what we call it the peak time at night. Now, almost the whole day is a peak time. The network is being utilized throughout the whole day. Lunch hour was the new peak time during the MCO. We also have a surge of new applications that comes in. We're seeing a lot of video applications being used, social applications being used. And this is, of course, on top of the productivity applications such as the Microsoft Office. We see a lot of video conferencing traffic is coming up, as well as the education sites. But predominantly, we see a lot of increase around YouTube, social media, around Facebook, and so on and so forth. But the biggest challenge that we face during that time is actually how the traffic has shifted. From the typical busy hour in the cities to residential areas, because everybody stays at home. And I think that was the biggest challenge that we faced, because the capacity that was built was to cater for a different geography. So, however, through various means and technologies that we have in terms of managing this traffic and the network, we were very thankful that the network remained uninterrupted, and we were able to cater for all the demand.
And the government also announced a free 1 gig data, right, for users during the MCO, and even now it's been extended in the Panjana package, but of course within certain conditions. Now, this is subsidized by all the telcos, so does this have an impact to you?
Yes, the free 1 gigabyte, it was initially announced by the government, something that I'm very pleased to say that this is during that difficult time that all industry players, despite the competition, actually came together and then put the need of Malaysians as a priority, as opposed to whatever that the business needs or individual business or financial demand. So we all came together, we come up with something that we think as an industry we should offer to Malaysians, and the free 1 gigabyte was announced. Of course, there was some impact. It has an impact on our network. The surge went up even further up after we announced the 1 gigabyte. However, the network, as I mentioned, is still able to maintain. But I thought that was a very important relief that we give to the public, because the public needed to remain able connected with each other, with their families. And then I think this 1 gigabyte take away the uncertainties, or take away the fear that they have to spend a lot of money during this period, just to remain connected. So that's what the industry has done. Then as we move into the different phases of the MCO, into the CMCO, and now the recovery phase, Then we work with the government and the MCMC again on how to facilitate what the needs during this period. Hence, we offer the 1 gigabyte to focus on productivity application and also to help support the education for the students to work for the students to study from home, from the teachers to be able to still educate the children when they are away from school.
But I want to also look at, you know, financials, and because you're the CEO of Celcom Axiata in Malaysia, I'll focus on that. The lockdown must have had an impact on overall revenue, right? So yes, we are using our phone more, but I'm sure sales and service activities at retail outlets, you know, so impacting things like prepaid, reload, SIM activities, or even device sales must have slowed. So what kind of revenue decline do you think you're going to see for the year?
Well, that is a question that, you know, at this point in time, it's something that won't be able to provide yet because, as you know, we are a public listed company. So I think at the right time, that's something after we have assessed the full impact and we come to the public and release the information. But I can tell you this, though, even during the MCO, we have seen how Malaysians actually changed their behavior in terms of how they come and interact with us, how Malaysians move from interacting with us in the physical way, from buying things from the shops, from the dealers, etc., into coming into online. We see a surge in terms of online transaction, digital transaction. The utilization of our apps has increased significantly, and we also see how our trade also actually innovate, yeah? Because sometimes they have their own set of community of customers, and then even without opening their shops, they are able to serve their customers, of course, using online banking, they do, and then using the over-the-air top-up and so on and so forth. So business didn't stop. Yeah, so it still continue. The consumers found their way in terms of how to access the services and how to interact with us. And we make ways of new ways to how we interact with our customers during this period.
But are you concerned for, let's say, the enterprise segment? Because, you know, going forward, a lot, and which is, involves a lot of SMEs, right? Because we are hearing that of all the businesses, they are going to be the ones that suffer the most post-MCO.
Yeah. So that's one area that we need to look into very, very seriously. The telecoms industry was not impacted directly because unlike the airline industry, the tourism industry, so on and so forth, but we will have an impact because of our customers are impacted. So in this case, for example, very, very important is the SME segment. So we are doing a few things for the SME. Of course, our offer to the SMEs, of course, there are customers that are asking for relief during this period. We are also offering some relief to our customers during this period, to our postpaid customers especially. We're also making special offers for our SME customers or the SME segment to come to us and try to get their business online, because a lot of these customers have to evolve from having just a physical brick and mortar into bringing their business online as well. So that's something that we do offer through our Celcom Business Suites. But I think you are aware also, even in the early days of the MCO, we were quite concerned about what's going to happen to the micro SMEs. Yeah? Hence, what we have done together with Axiata and our sister company, that we offer this special microfinance for the micro SMEs. This is to help our ecosystem, to help all the other ecosystem, for example, the nasi lemak seller, the small shops who needs help with their cash flow during this period. So we offer this microfinancing together with, of course, with the support of Ministry of Finance. So we are one of the first few that offer this relief to the market in concern of the SME segment. But moving forward, of course, this is something that we want to be able to help the SME segment even more. We are working with the government, of course, and how we can help to these SMEs to embark on their own digital transformation. Because the post MCO, post-COVID, we'll see the digitization. For us internally as well, needs to be accelerated. And for the SMEs and the enterprises, they even need to accelerate even faster.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Ilham Nawawi, CEO of Celcom Axiata. Up next, the competition, and is 5G a must-have for any telco, we ask. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Ilham Nawawi, CEO of Celcom Axiata. Just a moment ago, we were asking him about the challenges the company faced operating during the many phases of the movement control order. Now, I want to go back to the industry and the competition, which I have to say has become increasingly fierce. And I look at some of your numbers. The subscriber market share for Celcom among the big three seems to have been dropping off consistently from 30% in 2018 to 26% this year. And even the service wireless revenue market share has declined over the same period versus your competitors, which made slight gains. So what happened here? Is it complacency on your part or just the competitors just being very nimble and fast to adapt? So better product launches, more attractive packages. What happened here?
Yeah, this is something that we've seen. The Malaysian market has been highly competitive. But let me put things into perspective first. When we say Celcom, Celcom as a whole is not just about the Celcom as a brand and expect as our prepaid brand as a customer. Celcom also run the network that operate with our MVNOs as well. And together with our own brand and also the MVNOs, we are still the largest in terms of subscribers or network users on the network. We are running one of the largest, if not the largest network from number of sites in terms of coverage. I think that's what we are known at. So in terms of, and Celcom, of course, being one of the oldest and the biggest operator has been under attack as the market becomes very, very competitive. And we have seen over the years how new players came in and with the price competition that we're seeing a shift in terms of how the subscribers are moving to becoming a more and more price sensitive. And however, with our MVNOs, we are able to slow some of this migration of customers into some of the attackers out there. So that's what has been happening. So it's not because of the word they use, it's not because of complacency. It's something that we've seen as the market becomes very competitive and new players come into the market. Celcom is not staying quiet as well. We have introduced new packages in the market. You have seen even before the MCO, some new prepaid, very interesting and competitive value prepaid in the market as well as postpaid. You've seen her start playing into what the market wants these days, because as the market becomes highly commoditized, people want to have a bit more worry-free when they use their network to remain connected. And we started to offer these type of packages, which is highly competitive right now. And we are seeing some good trends out there in the market.
Yeah, but the reality is that the average revenue per user, or ARPU, as what your industry players like to say, has been declining in the last few years, right? As you know, users shift from voice to data. So that's something I think many players admit they can't control. But the one thing they can control, and even for yourself you can control, is cost. And when I compare Celcom's margins against the other two big players, and I'm looking at the first quarter numbers, it appears to be weaker versus your peers. So for first quarter numbers, your number was 34% versus Digi at 48% and Maxis at 38%. So do you think you could be leaner or meaner in these tougher times? Is there more cost cutting to go? Because you've already done one round of restructuring, which cost you 77 million not too long ago.
Yes, I think managing costs is one of a very important factor for us. If you see, in 2019, we have gone through, or even before that, we have gone through a few transformation process. And in 2019, we focused very much around operational excellence. And if you can see, we have able to maintain in terms of our profitability, despite the challenges we have in the top line. So this is something that's very important for us. That if you look at from a different perspective, one of our main cost element is, of course, because of the size of our network and to support our customers and to have the coverage in the widest coverage in the country. And of course, this is something that we continue to do now in terms of how do we optimize our network to get still provide the best experience, the best coverage for our customers. But how do we optimize the operating cost is one of our key focus within the next couple of years. Right?
You know, we have to talk about 5G, right? Mm-hmm. Is it something that Celcom wants to be part of the rollout in Malaysia? Because it's supposedly going to change the world, the Internet of Things, a truly connected world, some would say. What are your plans here?
Well, 5G is inevitable. Yeah, as the 4G before that and 3G before that, the technology evolves. One thing that we see the most is as the demand continue to increase in terms of data and the new application comes out, you need a new technology that we should be able to deliver a much higher bandwidth at a lower cost. And 5G is supposed to bring 100 times more capacity into the network at a lower cost. So yes, we will be participating in the 5G once it is made available, something that we want to pursue. And I think we are in the best one, the better position to maximize with our current infrastructure that we have already nationwide.
But the cost, right? That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
How much are you willing to pay for the spectrum? Because at the end of the day, we know it's not going to be cheap. The technology rollout, the infrastructure rollout will be quite significant. And even in markets which have already done it, like Korea, commercial adoption only happened because telcos there were willing to offer very attractive packages and handset discounts. So is this something Celcom is prepared to do? And maybe the return on investment may not be as great as some originally thought?
I think it's very important. I think similarly, when we did the 3G and 4G investment before, the timing of the investment is very important. Then it's not too early such that the ecosystem is not ready, but we have to build the infrastructure. So the right timing with the right level of investment and the kind of services that we want to do is key to make sure that we, not just Celcom as a company, but also as an industry and also as a country, because a lot of this investment has to do with importing of equipment from overseas. So we must invest at the right time for the right application. So I think that is key. Now, whether do we see potentially there's a new set of revenue to come in because of 5G, we're yet to be seen. But we do hope with some of the new services and these new applications that comes in, there is new ways of how industries and how the enterprises can do their business differently. And then if this bring value to them, then I'm sure that they will pay for the services.
Okay, but we cannot talk about 5G without talking about the government, because spectrum, after all, is a national asset, isn't it? So, you know, on June 2nd, we saw there was news that the 5G spectrum was awarded with apparently no bidding. And then the following day, that ministerial order was cancelled by MCMC. Were you surprised by the turn of events?
I think everybody was surprised by the turnout event, but of course we respect the government's decision, right? And I'm sure there are wisdom behind it. So for us, I think the Malaysian government has had the track record in terms of how to balance the need for the spectrum, balance the need for them to make the cost of the spectrum, also the need of the people to be able to deploy the network accordingly. It is very important. I think the government recognized even from the beginning that we also need to spend a lot of money in building up the infrastructure, right? And building up it with the right amount of spectrum will give us how economical we can deploy the network. Also depends in terms of how much spectrum is given to any particular operator. So I think that's one aspect. So we have full confidence that the right decision will be made by the government to make sure that everything is fair, and then whatever the resources that the country has is being used accordingly in the most optimal way, yeah, for the benefit of the people. I think we have no doubt of that. Yeah.
So do you have a preference in terms of the model in which it should be done? I mean, how should the government award the 5G? Because I think Singapore took a what they call a beauty parade approach. China, of course, is direct award. And it's auctions in US and even in Thailand, and the earliest adopter of 5G, which is Korea, they did that model. Which model works, do you think, best for Malaysia?
Well, each model has its own pros and cons. Yeah? I think it depends on the time, depends on the need, depends on the country itself. Yeah? Certain countries do it in auction, but it has an implication to the industry and the implication in terms of what kind of fund, is there any capital left to actually do the actual rollout in the market, right? So, but from the track record, I think Malaysia has done quite well in this, as I mentioned earlier, that we quite balanced in terms of awarding the spectrum at the right cost so that we still allow for the industry to be able to use most of the capital on the actual infrastructure. This is, I say, what I use the term of a win-win-win. So it's not just, yeah, so it's a win for the government, it's a win for the consumer, it's also a win for the industry. I think it's very important that to look at that.
What about the consortium model proposed by the previous government in January? Would that be better for consumers?
It depends, right? There are many models, like I said, but I think we will open to look at all the models that the government wants to look at. And then there are, like I said, there's a pros and cons of each of the model.
Very recently, our Minister of Communications and Multimedia, Dato' Saifuddin, said that we have too many telco players and that one C that should be considered is consolidation. So is this something you are considering at Celcom? Because after all, market share has been shrinking. So buying someone out, be it U-Mobile, maybe TM, or maybe, you know, is that something you all are considering? Because it's not implausible. After all, your parent, Axiata, was considering a merger with Telenor.
Well, Malaysia is a market of about 30-odd million. Yeah, and we have about 5 active players in the market with a few more spectrum holders in the market. Consolidation also is not new to the market. If you recall, about 15 years ago, we used to have 8 players that has been consolidated into 4, and then we expanded again. And then the question is whether the market itself can sustain the number of players. I think that will be told, and I think that will come out as the market continues. Now, of course, situation has changed even more after the MCO and after the COVID, right? Because the market has changed, the behavior of the consumer has changed. So consolidation and all that will probably be a lot more closer to the table. But how and who and all that is remain to be seen. Yeah? However, I think while waiting for the consolidation or even before any consolidation, collaboration I think is very important. Yeah, I think that's something that the industry coming together on how we can look at the each other's and capitalize on each other's infrastructure and even also to some extent pulling some of the spectrum so we can actually provide the services, the best services to consumers in the most economical way. Yeah.
On that note, thank you for your time. Joining me on The Breakfast Grill today was Iham Nawawi, CEO of Celcom Axiata, sharing with us their plans for growth in this very competitive environment. I'm Wong Shaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.